Praise God. That was real good. Loud. Amen. Louder than a piano, would you believe it? Praise the Lord. I like that. I like that. Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. We're looking at these gifts and callings of God that are without repentance. We're looking at some things that God gave to Israel. And you know what He gave to Israel? Some of it He gave through Israel unto us. And we can use it, if you will, please. And we can take the things that God showed Israel and put them in our lives. It'll make us better people. Now, if you got a problem with what's going on in today, just read your Bible closely. Because there's coming a day one day when they're going to be screaming for somebody to fix all of this. And that somebody's the Antichrist. And we leave just before that joker shows up. Amen. So you say, preacher, it's so bad. I know it's so bad, but it's far worse for them out there than it will be for us. I promise you. They're still going to be out there doing what they're doing when we leave. Then all that insanity is going to hit. I mean, figure it all out. You ain't going to be able to go anywhere because the roads are going to be jammed shut with wrecked cars. Come on, think about it. All of us pull out going down the interstate. Huh? If you got any dogs, you better teach them how to cook. Amen, because we're going. Amen. This thing is all in the book. Every bit of this is in the Word of God. You say, preacher, I didn't know it. It's in there. I promise you, it's in there. Amen. She's lining up fast now, faster than I even realize. I've been watching it for over 40 years, but it seems like in the last 10, she hit Georgia Overdrive. You know what that is? That's down a mountain without brakes. Well, that's what she's doing now. She's accelerating fast now. All the stuff that God Almighty wrote down in that Bible is accelerating fast now. You found Romans 11 yet? Let's stand together, read our Bible verses for the night. Verse 25 at the end of the chapter says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." What God gives to Israel, Israel is going to have, I promise you. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. As in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, yesterday morning, Sunday morning, we looked at this great gift of eternality, the gift of eternal life that God gave all of us that are saved by the grace of God. And it's without repentance. God will not take it back. Thank God we are forever saved. Amen. And thank the Lord. If we're saved at all, we're forever saved. And then we looked at how God has blessed us with life. Salvation starts it, but then living is what we're supposed to do day in and day out. Is that not right? And as we live, my dear family, others will see Christ. As we live, others will see the Lord Jesus in us and on us and around us. You and I ought to be so wrapped up in God, listen to me closely now, that we come off the mountain like Moses. Now, I'm longing for the day that happens. But that's how we ought to be. That's the goal we need to set. Lord, I want to come off my mountain looking like Moses. Face is shining, full of God, God all over me, so much that they can't look on me without seeing Him. That's the plan. So we've got to work at it, do we not? Tonight I want you to, before you sit down, I want you to turn back into chapter 3 of Romans. I want you to see another gift that God gave to the great Jews and the great church of the Lord. And I want you to see this in chapter 3, verse 1 and following. God's Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them was committed the oracles of God. Did you ever really stop and ponder what a gift you're down there and you're, what you're looking at? God, my helper tonight, I want to emphasize this book. If God will give me help tonight, and I believe He will, them Hebrews, them Old Testament Jews, the oracles of God were they were the answers of the questions they had that come from God Himself.
Amen.
That's the oracles of God committed. They were given the oracles of God. Now, there was more than Hebrews on the ground. In fact, my love, I want you to realize something. There were no Hebrews until Abraham. You guys know the book. Am I right or wrong? There was no Hebrews before Abraham. All that crowd before Abraham were not Hebrews. There was no Jewish nation. God wanted a Jewish nation, so He went over near the Chaldees, found a guy named Abram. And you know the story. From Abram on now, we've got Hebrews. Let's look at this tonight. Father, I love You. Thank You, praise You for all these that have come out on this night. What a fine night You've given us to come to church, Lord. 70 degrees, Lord, it ain't humid, Father, and we have an opportunity to be inside the building tonight and enjoy the words of God. And what a gift. What a gift we have that's without repentance. You have given us the book. You gave it to the Hebrews first, Lord. You gave it to the Jews first. But Heavenly Father, now we have it. Lord, I want to live this book. And I want my families to live this book. So Heavenly Father, I try my best in obedience to You to preach so that every one of these saved folk will have a good judgment when they come to see You. Father, I'm asking You tonight, Lord, to open our hearts to the importance of this Bible. What it has done for us, what it could do, what it will do, and what it will one day lead us. Father, one day that Word that became flesh, we'll get to see Him as He is, and we'll be just like Him.
Yeah.
That's going to be something, Lord. That's going to be something. Maybe tonight, God, You could do that. Revelation says You'd come with clouds, and Lord, next time the clouds come through, may we remember that You're coming. I look at it all the time, God. I see You when there ain't no clouds. Because it could be cloudy in Israel. It could be cloudy in Virginia. It don't matter where it's cloudy. You said You're coming with the clouds, and I'm leaving when You come. And so even so come, Lord Jesus, I pray. Now, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, if there's somebody within the sound of my voice that's not born again, that have never repented of their sin and turned to Jesus Christ by faith, Father, I'm asking that tonight their hearts would break. They would see that they have offended You, angered You. They would understand they're enemies of God in their lost condition. And the only recourse is salvation. I'm asking, Father, for the salvation of the lost and the instruction of the saved. In the name of Jesus, I praise You. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. This important book that God wrote down, and it took a while for it to get in our language. It really did, and I'm not going through that because y'all know the story. But I'm just trying to get you to understand tonight the importance of that Bible that old great King James Bible that you and I are allowed to have. I've been to Central America where there weren't no Bibles. I've been to South Africa where there was no Bibles around. Many had them, don't get me wrong, but not everybody had them. Here, you and I have got many Bibles, and yet, my dear family, it seems like a lot of times there's a famine of hearing the Word of God in our land. There's a whole lot of words going on even right now across the airways. If we could grab them all in this building right here, there's radio words going through and TV words. I mean, all kind of words are rolling. Not only just God's Word, but all kind of man's words. But one of the things that we've got to understand is man can say what he wants to say, but it will not better him. There must be a Word of God in order to fix that which man has made a mess out of himself. Let me ask you something. Can I ask you something? Okay, one of you. Can I ask you something? How many of you have family devotions every day? One of our first preachers. Let me ask your parents something. When you bring them in here and thank God you do, and about 15 minutes into my preaching, they're sleeping. How much Word of God are they getting? I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to, in love, rebuke you properly. You cannot expect a child to turn out right if you don't feed him right. You can't feed children McDonald's hamburgers and chicken nuggets and expect them to grow up healthy. And you can't starve them to death. You say, preacher, but they're so little. That's where you come in, Mom and Dad. You can read. We're not asking you to spend hours. Just some time. Explaining the Word of God to your children. Showing them the simple facts of the Bible. You say, preacher, that's what Christian schools are for. No, it is not what Christian schools are for. God's Bible commands dads to do it. Now, don't tell me you ain't got time. Don't give me that, okay? Go to work at 2 o'clock in the morning, get home at 9:30 at night. You still somewhere, somehow, some way is going to have to figure out a way to do what God Almighty has commanded you to do. God has given us His Bible. One of the greatest gifts there is that Word. We thank God we're saved. We thank God we got a life to live, but we got to have that life fed by the proper nutrition. That nutrition is this old Bible. And our little people, my dear family, need a steady diet of this book. Now, I thank God for Christian schools. I thank God for good parents that try to help their kids and all of that. You got to be patient with children. Our Father's patient with us. You got to be patient with them. Their attention span is about a minute and a half longer than ours. You'll get that in a minute. All right? And a lot of times, my dear family, we neglect the very essence of their adulthood while they're children. The essence of their adulthood is the Word of God. What you want them to be as an adult has to come out of that book. It cannot come out of the world. It cannot come out of the cartoons. It cannot come out of the games. I venture to say 90% of that bunch out there doing what they're doing don't know enough about that Bible to want a shotgun book. I tell you, my dear family, that Bible's important in the upbringing of your youngins. And you've got to make sure that they get a dose of that book. And I'm not talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Stay awake now, the preacher's on. No. Every day, you need to put these babies full of Bible. Every one of them. Little. He said, preacher, what are you saying? Let me give you an example, if I may. The First time I find, now you correct me if I missed it, okay? First time I see the written word of God, and I know who wrote it, was Moses, right? But it was God in Exodus 20. Now help me, you that know better. It was Exodus 20 where God Almighty had Moses up on the mountain giving him 10 commandments. The word of God written with the finger of God, right? Okay. Now I don't know that it was everywhere written any time before that. If it was, I don't know. All right. But I know it was written there. Now what was God doing? God was writing it down for Israel. God was putting down some rules and regulations for Israel. 10 commandments. Now, if the 10 commandments have any value to them, they will help you live a whole lot better if you just obey them. But most folks can't get past the first one. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, on. They can't get past the first one. I was preaching downtown Ithaca one time, a great big cop come up to stop because the mayor told him to. And he looked at me and he said, you know something? He said, if everybody out here would just obey the 10 commandments, this place wouldn't be such a mess. I said, you're exactly right. I said, do you know where they're at in the Bible? He said, no. He said, but I'm telling you, preacher, you got to stop preaching. The mayor was sitting right on a bank thing over there. And he said, he has ordered me to stop you. Ithaca, New York. Yeah. We'll just stop with that conversation, okay?
Yeah, right.
So I opened up to Exodus chapter 20. And in my, meek and mild voice, I said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And that's how I read the 10 commandments to that cop. And the whole square heard it, including the mayor. I wasn't preaching. I just read about it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, I find him there in Exodus 20 reading that Bible, getting that Bible from God Almighty. I find him doing it again in 34 the second time. As Moses came down that mount and broke the word of God, when they had that old calf party, he had to go back up there to get him again. My God wants us to have the word of God in such a way that, dear one, listen to me, he put it on us and put it on us and put it on us. A lot of times, my dear family, you can get the word of God, but what I want to say about Moses was this. He was only 3 months with Mama. That's all. 3 months. She saw he was a proper child. She kept him 3 months, and then she turned him over to the world. Stay with me. Turned him over to the world at 3 months. He was raised in where? Egypt. Right? He was raised in Egypt. He knew Egypt. 3 months old, Jochebed handed him to Egypt. 40 years old, my dear family, he chose to get to his people. He'd been 40 years in Egypt. 40 years trained by the heathens. 40 years, my dear family, without any Bible, without any church, without any pastor, without any instruction, if you will, except for heathen instruction. And the Egyptians were heathen people. But at 40 years old, Stephen testified about it in Acts chapter 7. About the 23rd verse, he started talking about Moses and what had happened there. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about Moses and what happened to him after 3 months. He went to the world. But after 40 years of being in the world, there was something inside of him that said, you'll get this if you pay attention. After 40 years of the world, something inside of him said, what was Jochebed doing for 3 months? Wasn't just feeding him and changing his diaper. What are you saying? I'm saying the importance of that word of God. It made a difference. Now don't sit there and try to justify, well, yeah, but he was a chosen somebody from God to go out back in there and get them and bring them out. And so that's why God did that. No, you can justify yourself if you want to. But I'm just telling you point blank, family. You put it in there, and sooner or later, somewhere along the line, the Holy Ghost of God will put, even in the heathen, it'll put, listen, Moses didn't get saved at 40 years old. Do you think he did?
killed a man, run off 40 years after that, God sent him to Egypt. Am I right or wrong? 80-year-old man. God sent him to Egypt to get the children out after 80 years old. He was 40 more years bringing them up back up to that mountain. Am I right or wrong? Come on, stay with me now. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what Jochebed put in Moses' heart for 3 months. Stuck. What we put in each other's heart and minds. Now, I'm not real smart, so I got to do my stuff repetitiously. Over and 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 over. And it ain't no telling which spot it'll finally hit and I'll have it. Honestly, there's some things that I still just kind of had to just go over and over and over and over and over again because I just ain't quite got it settled in my mind how it works. There's other things that God helps me in my little simple mind. Listen, I'm a simple-minded man. I'm not some genius. And I got to have my God teach me at my level.
Yeah.
Same way with you.
Amen.
You teach the Word of God. You got the school here and all that. You teach the Word of God at their level. You can't expect the four or five-year-olds to know what the 8, 9, 10-year-olds know. So you just try to give them something that'll help them a little bit. Something that'll feed them a little bit. Something that'll bless them a little bit. This gift of the Word of God is massively important. It's important not only for their welfare, but it's important for your household. I don't know how many Christian parents we got in our America today that's got troubled kids. They're angry people. They're upset about everything coming and going. A lot of the Word of God by their family sometimes gets covered up by the ways of the world and friends and neighbors and all of that. But what we've got to do is we've got to continually look into that Word of God and continually discern what is that boy of mine thinking. Now, Mom and Dad, listen to me. If you got half sense at all, you could read your kids' mind. You can almost tell what they're thinking about every other minute. And a lot of times, my dear family, if you just watch facial expressions when something comes to pass, and then you go to God, you say, Lord, my little boy here has got this kind of an idea in his mind, and what can I use in the Scriptures to get that out of his head? And God will give you a Bible for it. You can't psycho them. You can't psychoanalyze them youngins, all right? Youngins are a changeable thing. They change every day. They grow an inch a day, and then they change every day, too. And a lot of times, my dear family, instead of taking that Bible and giving the truth to their minds and the truth to their little hearts, what we do is we try to psychoanalyze them. Well, let me see what's going on with it. Whoa, just stop. Get that Bible. Sit the youngin down and say, son, let me share what the Bible is saying here on this subject. And as you read them the Bible, then listen to me now, explain the Bible, interpret the Bible. Say, Holy Ghost, then you tell me what it means so I can tell him what it means in his language.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about English. I'm talking about simplicity. You can't use 50-cent words on a 2-cent child.
Amen. Right.
You have to talk sense to them.
Amen.
You have to talk Bible to them.
Amen.
And so you interpret the Bible in such a way that even the littlest ones can understand. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're supposed to obey. This is what God says. Our problem is we become the final authority in our kids' lives sometimes, and they miss God. Daddy said, or Mommy said. We don't need Daddy or Mommy said. We need what God said through Daddy and Mommy. See, until they realize it is God speaking, because they're going to, listen to me, their old nature is what? Come on, stay with me now. Their old nature is what? I know they're sweet and cuddly and cute. And I mean, they're the finest of little things. Amen. Even when their diapers are nasty, they're good. But their old nature is what? So that old nature's there. And you've got to learn how to combat that thing. If you feed that old nature by assuming the authority and leave God out, what are you going to do with them when they're 10, 11, 12? Mm-hmm. And they leave God out. You still with me? Hang tight, hang tight. Under them was committed the oracles of God. What advantage did they have? They had the oracles of God. What profit was there in their circumcision? It was an obedience to God Almighty. And as you and I, my dear family, have the Word of God and have the ways of the Lord written down before us, it behooves us to share that with everybody around us, especially they of our own. And so as you take the Scriptures and you explain the Word of God, listen to me, working in the streets of America, you got to just about back down into the simplicity of it all for a lot of those folks. Many of those folks that I've dealt with over the years have not been to church long enough, or to school long enough to even know anything. And so you just didn't simplify. You just put it in such common, ordinary terms that they can understand what's really going on in their spirit. A lot of times the enemy of their soul keeps their mind so cluttered with junk that they don't understand what's really going on in their spirit. They know there's something missing, but they can't figure out what it is. So they grab a bottle. They drink it, and when they get down to the suds, they figure out that wasn't it. They'll grab a needle, jam it into their arm, and shoot their veins full of this, out of the other. But when they come back off that trip, that wasn't it. They'll try this, and they'll try that, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. And now you come in here. Listen to me. They're just like Old Testament Jews, a lot of them. You know, an Old Testament Jew wouldn't blink his eyes unless he'd seen a sign. He wasn't going to listen to nothing unless he'd seen it happen with his naked eye. And God Almighty said in the New Testament that a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And a lot of times the people that we work with today are looking for a physical sign that you belong to God. They don't know nothing about faith. They've never had to live by faith. They've always lived by sight. They do not understand you can take the Word of God and live by faith. They don't understand that. They can't fathom that. It don't register in their brains. It don't get there. A lot of times in our church services, we preach to visitors, if you will, and they've been to the wrong church or no church at all. It's an amazing thing, is it not? People do not go to church sometimes, but yet we'll preach, and it's so simple to us, and we think, my soul, you know, anybody get that? But they go out of here just so confused, they can't figure out what day it is. Why? Because we didn't take that Word of God, that gift that God gave us, and give it to them as a gift. Now, what did God make you pay for to get the book? And yet we make them pay for things to get our book.
Oh, yeah, all right.
We got this set of things here that we figured out how to do. The Lord God promised us there, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in whether you can do better or not tomorrow. Not faith in whether you be at church three times this week. Not faith in this or faith in that, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And until they get salvation squared away, listen to me, until they get salvation squared away, they are double-minded people. Amen. And a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Don't expect his home to be right if he's double-minded about salvation. Don't expect him to be a good worker if he's double-minded about salvation. Don't expect him to be good with his finances if he's a double-minded in his salvation. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How do you single-mind a man? How do you single-mind a lady? You got to take the book. You got to take this gift that God's given us. You got to take the oracles of God and emphasize God. How many of you men that knock on doors and talk and preach all that kind of stuff, how many times have you been told in your Christian life, men wrote that book, they don't mean nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know why they do that? Because somebody previous to us came and all they did was emphasize the book and didn't emphasize the God of the book.
Yeah, that's right.
God wrote this Bible.
Right.
Well, it says there in 2 Peter. Well, it says there in Jeremiah. It says there in Genesis. I know what it says there in all the things, but I want you to realize that right now. It was God Almighty that wrote all that down. It was God that wrote it all down so you and I could have a copy of the Word of God, so you and I could have His mind, His heart, His ways, His will, everything that God wants to have. He wrote it down so you and I could get it.
Amen.
And as God wanted us to get it, my dear family, He gave it to us as we could receive it and as we could apply it.
Yeah.
Stay with me now. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'm going to give you the Bible. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you what that Bible means, not just what it says. A lot of people can tell me what the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
But what they've got to figure out is what it means. How you do that? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, in context. Right or wrong? Yeah, but that verse said, I know what that verse said, but what did the five verses previous say?
Come on.
What did the chapter before that talk about? That's why, my love, I've been reading from chapter 11, 25 down to the end of the chapter. I want you to catch the thing. The context of that verse of 29 is Hebrews, Jews, amen. God Almighty's talking to the Israelites. He is writing it to the Romans, yes, but He's talking about what He did in Israel. And one of the gifts that God gave besides salvation and living was the Word of God.
Amen.
Moses come down off that mountain with the Word of God in his hands, two tablets of stone, written with the finger of God, would you believe it? And when God wrote that down, it was not a place to corral the people. It was a place to protect the people. It wasn't a place to harm the people. It was a place to keep them from being harmed, if you will. Up on the mountain, Moses and God was up there. God was writing that all down. And down in the valley, Kor, Dathan, and Abiram was destroying the people. They hoodwinked old Aaron. Why? Because he didn't have the Word of God. But when he got down and got the Word of God, when Moses brought the Word of God down, they started walking that Word of God. Are you listening to me? Not the path, the Word of God. They started walking the Word of God. One step on this commandment, 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 and right on down the line. And they marched out of there. That crowd got swallowed up by the earth. Lord got up on the ground and swallowed that bunch of devils up. And they got out of there, that Word of God, my dear family. And I'm telling you, after a while, God wrote it down again for them because He did not want them to miss it. Him and Moses was about to get off the scene. He said, listen, I want you to put all this in the ark. Put all this in the ark. This needs to be preserved. This needs to be given. This needs to be kept. He told Joshua, he said, what you need to do, sons, you need to meditate on this thing. You need to ponder this thing. You need to think about this thing. This will bring you success, Joshua. What? The Word of God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what are you saying? Look with me, please, if you will. Let me grab it up there. Let's go to Hebrews for a minute. All right? Hebrews. You know where I'm going. I told you it's Sunday. I ain't preaching nothing new. I'm preaching the same good stuff. You just need to hear it again. That's all. God's Bible. Hebrews, my family. Look with me, please, in chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. It means it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder a soul and spirit of the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's quick and powerful. All right, let's use this. I'm going to use my Bible, okay? You can see my Bible, right? See my Bible? All right, I'm going to put my Bible right here. Right beside me. I'm going to put my Bible right here. Now, you have to move off it right back, okay? My Bible's up on that pulpit, right? Now that Bible says that Word of God is powerful. Quick and powerful, right? Alright, so Bible, what I want you to do, Bible, is that I want you to clean me up in my mind. Come over here. Come here. Bible. Hey! Come on over here. Hey, move. Well, then, preacher, how's it quick and powerful? Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thou shalt not. Oh, I've been doing that. Well, Lord, you said not to do that. I ain't doing that no more. By your grace, God, I won't do that no more. By your help, my Father, I will not do that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Now I know I ain't supposed to do that. I ain't doing that no more. You know what the power of this book is? Our obedience to it. Sitting on the shelf don't do you a flip of good. Come on now. Telling the children you better obey the Bible and never teach them what the Bible says. Don't do them babies a bit of good. You got to get that Bible. You got to let God give you the oracles of God. You got to let give you the... Listen, just having the pages and the cover and the paper clips and listen, does not make you what God wants you to be. Just having it, you gotta obey it. You gotta read it. You gotta get in it. You gotta understand it. You gotta say, God, I have no clue what you're talking about. And the writer of the Bible will say, let me interpret it for you. Let me show you exactly what I meant when I said that. Now, I know I said that to the Hebrews way back there before Jesus, but I want you to put application in your own boots. You put it in your boots and walk in it. This is what you need to understand. I had a guy one time, he's on my case in the street real bad. He said, we don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. It don't mean anything. It's all Old Testament. I said, that's true. It is. It's Old Testament stuff. But I said, you still have to do it. He said, no, I don't have to do it. I'm a New Testament grace Christian. And I said, okay, good. But you still have to obey the Old Testament. He said, I do not. I said, all right. You're too stupid to stop. Here it comes. Don't go home for 3 days. I'm trying to do this right for the sake of the ladies and kids. And then go home and tell your wife, you don't have to obey that Old Testament scripture about thou shalt not commit. Mm-hmm. And see how your good wife thinks of that.
Amen.
And he choked. I said, let's try this. Thou shalt not steal. You go out and steal. And you watch what God does for you.
Yeah, come on.
See, but that don't apply. That applied only to the Jews. I said, then go steal. Go out there and break the Ten Commandments. It don't matter. It's Old Testament stuff. He said, people with good sense don't do that. I said, well, now we're starting to think. See, my dear family, that book is not just meant for certain sections of somebody's. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, how can we separate this group, that bunch, this bunch? How can we say that crowd can't and this crowd can? God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
God ain't after a certain group of people. Listen, he ain't Adolf Hitler. He don't want just blonde-headed, blue-eyed Aryans. I want all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God says. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, a lot of times when we look at this book and we listen to other people when they get this book, they forget how powerful this book and how sharp this book is. This sharp can cut you where nobody else can reach. This book can draw blood. Old Jack Parsman, bless his old heart. He's in heaven now with God, but we'd preach together and we'd sit down before church and pray. And he said, Brother Don, he said, now tonight when you get up there to preach, he said, what I want you to do, son, he said, I want you to draw blood. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to draw blood tonight. Now, I was telling the preacher, man, Jack Parsman preaches 6, 7, 8 day meeting, and 4 of them days will be on hell. And he put you in hell 4 days. Then he'd talk about heaven and get you out of there. Yeah. By that time, 4 days in hell, you was ready to get out of there.
Yeah.
I promise you that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that he said, you preach this book and preach it straight, preach it hard. A lot of folk don't like confrontational preaching. They don't like to be named. They don't like their sin to be exposed, if you will, publicly. But they sin publicly and never think a thing about it.
Yeah.
They take, you know, pictures of themselves, you know, disobeying God, and then don't you dare say anything about that in church. Well, you don't put it on Facebook, you dummy. go when they could, they went south, got on the beach, took their clothes off. That's real bravery. Took their clothes off, laid out there in the sun, stupid, getting sun worship, going on, taking pictures. Look at me here on the beach, Myrtle Beach, taking a picture. And then you preach about that kind of stuff and they think you're a nut.
Yeah.
What's that book say about sin? It don't matter what the sin is. What does the book say about sin? All unrighteousness is sin. What serves not of faith is sin. Am I right about it? Come on now. Him that knoweth to do good doeth it not is sin. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying my dear family, I'd have never learned that if I hadn't got the gift. God gifted me with the Word of God. Why? Because it helps me live for Him and stay with Him and walk with Him. Are you listening to me? This powerful book, when I obey this book, I'm telling you right now, there's verses in there, abstain from all appearance of evil, the book says.
Yeah.
Joseph, my dear family, was looking at some kind of a deal going in the house, and here comes Potiphar's wife, and she starts a little shenanigans. Son, that boy spun out of his coat and hit the road. He didn't even have a Bible. What was going on? Them Old Testament boys, my dear family, had God all over them.
Yeah.
Joseph had God all over them. Abraham had God all over them. Them guys had God all over them. You and I have been given such a gift.
Amen.
Now I want to propose a deal for you, okay? I want you to imagine life without this book. I want you to go back past your salvation, and I want you to remember what you was and what you did before you found this book.
Oh boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, preacher, we're going to put it up on the screen. I wouldn't advise that.
No. Thank you.
You ought to rejoice every day that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Come on now. Where'd you learn that? Out of my gift. What are you saying? My past is vile and ungodly just like everybody else's is, even church going. But I'm telling you, my dear family, my Bible, my gift has taught me that my God has forgiven me. My God has raised it with the blood of Jesus. My God has set me free from that. I don't have to worry about my past. My dear family, meet me at the judgment seat. My God has taken care of that. I learned it out of my gift. Dan, can you live in the past and be happy? Many people do. I can't do this because I was this. I can't do this because I did this. I can't do this because of that. My dear family, listen to me. When you become a Savior, you're a new creature in Christ. All that stuff's passed away. God Almighty takes it and puts it in the blood of God. We get freed by God. The gift told me that. We can stand up every morning and say, I'm a new man. I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new man today. I can give myself to God because the gift said I could. Present yourself a living sacrifice this morning, son. Lord, I give myself to you, lock, stock, and barrel for thy exaltation and glorification. What do you want to do today? Son, I want you to present yourself a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, not a mannequin, not a corpse. So many times, my family, we take God to corpse and say, oh God, resurrect the corpse. God says, no, you buried corpses. You're a new man. I didn't bondo you. I didn't putty you. I didn't gorilla tape you when I saved you. I made you brand spanking new, amen. Now get up and do something for me.
Yeah.
And God Almighty lets us, my family. Go to Hebrews 2. God Almighty lets us, my family, out of this Bible, learn how to live and do and be what He wants us to be. God's Bible says in the first verse of 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. And then here we are. Lest at any time we should let them slip. I've slipped in 43 years. How about y'all? I ain't saying that braggedly. I'm just telling you point blank. I'm not saying because in my early years I was ignorant. But I'm just telling you, my dear family, I was as human as the rest of you. But one thing my God has taught me, it don't take too many whoopings to learn the lesson. Granddaddy used a willow switch on us boys. Stood us up against the cellar house. He took that willow switch, that old singing, whistling willow switch. And we never chunked a crab apple at a car going by again. Oh, we might have pounded the fire out of our cousins when they came. And then when he took the willow switch to us for that, we never pounded the fire out of our cousins again either. When we wouldn't eat our supper and we made some kind of funny face about it or said something stupid at the supper table, the willow switch in the cellar house cured us from ever saying anything bad about supper again.
That's right.
Some folk are just slow learners. But some of us learn real quick.
Yeah.
You have stripes you're healed verse? We had them, son. From the middle of your backside down to your ankles, we had stripes. He didn't aim. He just swung. And when them things hit, you dodging and you jumping and you bumping and you running, you turning, you twisting, but you never could took your hands off the wall.
Yeah.
God have mercy if you took your hands off the wall. So whatever lesson we learned it first.
Yeah.
We try to teach our cousin kids sometimes. And listen, you don't want to do that because Big Daddy comes home and Big Daddy will take a willow switch to you. They didn't believe it. So me and my brother and one other cousin got to stand over on the side, hallelujah, and watch that cousin learn that lesson about that willow. Hey, you ought to take heed to what you've heard. I told you Big Daddy's going to pound you if you did that. And you did it anyhow because you thought, because your mommy never does whip you. You ain't at mommy's house. You're at Big Daddy's house now. See, a lot of mommies wouldn't whoop their children. But that didn't bother my granddaddy. My aunt would not. Oh, God forbid if anybody whipped her children, her boys. But that didn't faze my granddaddy. He said, I whipped you, and I will whip them. And she had no say-so. I laughed. I thought it was fun. She said, why? Because I got mine earlier. Amen. You know what was really bad? When one of us was in Aiken. And none of us did what was accused of. Anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, right.
One of us was in Aiken. And granddad had come in off of work. He worked for the state road. He came in off of work. And he said, your grandmother says, who did it? Not me. I'd never do that. No way. And it's because of no way, all the way, everyone got it.
Amen. All right.
Everyone. He was going to make sure whoever did it got it. If nobody owned up to it, he made sure they did. So he got all of us. Y'all take heed to what you hear. Aiken didn't remember God telling us to leave that stuff alone. Bring some of that stuff into the treasury, but leave the rest of it alone. Well, yeah, but I didn't think he meant it. Well, I want you to know, son, he did. Come on, you know the story? What did it cost him? Exactly. Should have took heed to what he heard.
Yeah.
You and I have been given a gift. Well, I don't know if that's what God meant. Well, what did he do to the guy back here that did that?
Come on.
And what did he do to the family back here that did that? What did he do to the religious leader that did that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because a sentence is not rendered speedily at the first,
right,
does not mean he's not going to deal with whatever's going on.
Right.
Our God is holy.
Amen.
His greatest attribute is holiness. Everything about him is holy. Even his chastisement is holy. Everything God does is absolutely right and absolutely holy. He never makes a mistake.
Amen.
And when He tells me, son, that was not right, I need to take heed to what I've heard. I can't justify with this is a modern day. Lord, this is 2020. God said 2020 or 2. It don't matter. It ain't right. Where'd you learn that? From the gift that God gave me. The gift of the Bible, the Word of God. Now I want to encourage you now as I close. Come on, baby. I want to encourage you as I close to stop taking so lightly the Scriptures. I want you to take your Bible, Mom and Dad. I want you to take your Bible. Somehow, some way, sometime during the day, set your family down and read the Scriptures. There ain't nobody but me and my wife. Hallelujah. You won't have to explain so much to her as you would your children. Because she's just as saved as you are. Come on, Mom and Dad. Them youngins need some learning. Look at me. All your parents, look at me. Somebody's going to teach your kids. Your parents agree? Somebody's going to do it. Am I right or wrong? Neighbor kid? Grandma and Grandpa, were they right with God? We had the biggest battle in the world with our kids with my parents. Well, I think y'all do that. Well, you ain't raising them. I'm raising them.
Yeah.
Well, I think y'all have a television. Well, I say they ain't. So they went and bought one, brought it down. And I shifted back. I said no. Made a matter of hornet. I said, you raised me on television, nearly put me in hell. I'm trying to salvage mine. They don't get to watch that junk. Boy, they give me fits. I had a sister-in-law send a dirty book to my son. I'm telling you, somebody is going to try to teach him. So head them off at the pass. Take the sword of the Word of God and slice the enemy.
Amen.
Set your babies down. This is what the Bible says, sweetheart. This is God talking to you. This is what He says. And put God as the emphasis of the gift of His Bible. Heads about eyes are closed. No one looking around. No one looking around. No one looking around. Preacher, I heard God loud and clear tonight, and I need to do some changing about my Bible, my family, my kids, my ways of living. I need to do something about this. Any good Christians in here heard from God tonight? Now, to hear from God is great and dandy, but now to put application and work to it is the next step. Even tonight, when you go home, sit down for 15 minutes and read your family the Word of God before they go to bed. Do not go home and turn on that television and find out where the last riot was. Your kids don't need riots. They need Scripture. Father, help these two people. Help me and preachers, these dads in here, my Father. Lead our families, God. I thank you, Lord, that years ago, Father, we see that the Bible was such a gift. You committed the oracles of God unto the Jews. You gave them that which was the answers to every question. Every question is answered in that book. Yes, I know they fumbled it, Lord. But we've got it now. And so, God, I want us not to fumble.
I want these parents not to fumble. I want all of us, my God, in this great church, our members and our visitors, Lord, I want them to take a better look at that book and take more earnest heed to what they're hearing. Father, I see you working all through the Scriptures. I see you tell us to meditate. I didn't even get to that text. I didn't even get to Timothy, Lord, where you told Timothy to give attendance to reading. I didn't go there. Father, I believe I've said what you wanted me to say tonight about that Bible. And I want victory for these people. We say victory in Jesus. I know where the victory's at. It's in obedience to that book. There's where its power lies. Laying with its covers closed will not help me. Reading and adhering to it will. And it will for them. Please, God. Please, God. Please. Let us see the Bible as a precious gift that you've given unto us. I pray in Jesus' name.
Promises, promises, and all of them true. He's done exactly what He said He would do. He didn't tell me my heart would not be broken.
That Bible is precious.
But He did say He'd mend it again.
It's a great gift.
He didn't promise that I would never stumble, but He did say He'd be there if I fall. And He didn't tell me He'd hear complaints I'd whisper, but He did say He'd hear me when I fall. Promises, and all of them true. He's done exactly what He said He would do. He didn't tell me my heart would not be broken, but He did say He'd mend it again.
It'll help when they obey you too.
He didn't promise my cross would not be heavy, but He did say that He my load would bear. And He didn't tell me He'd grant my wants and wishes, but He did say He'd hear my earnest prayer. Promises, and all of them true. He's done exactly what He said He would do. He didn't tell me my heart would not be broken, but He did say He'd mend it again. Promises, and all of them true. He's done exactly what He said He would do. He didn't tell me my heart would not be broken, but He did say He'd mend it again.
Look at me, love. Look at me. Do you believe the promises of God? They're yea and amen in Him. What does He promise about your children? What does He promise about your marriage? What does He promise about your finance? Come on, what does He promise about your welfare? What does He promise about your relationships with mankind? If you can trust Him to save you,
Amen.
You can trust Him to raise you.